Welcome to the New and Living Way Church Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
So we're going to be trusting God to do a combination of the emphasis of the Lord, even around the searching of scriptures in this season. Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things that began to really get impressed on my heart lately, I think sometime this week or thereabout, I was looking through the scriptures and the Lord said, I want to believe He's the Lord. I know Satan can't say that. Okay, let me just say it dropped in my heart, because it's a fearful thing to say the Lord said. Well, it dropped in my heart that, so I went to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 and I saw that verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then I was told to check Revelations, the very last verse in the Bible. Are we together? And the very last verse says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And what came to my heart was that in between, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all is a love story. And the love story is that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Because without the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are not going anywhere. That beginning would never have led to anywhere. Hallelujah. Because somebody truncated that plan. Are you getting what I'm saying? God made man, created man, and the journey was for man to arrive at somewhere, right? You know, that man, not that he, from the sight of God, that man didn't have a problem. Abi? Because when God finished creation, he looked at everything he created after he created man and he said, behold, it was very good. Abi? So from the end of God, that man didn't have a problem. But from the man's end, there's a problem. The problem is that he has not, you know, God calls the things that be not as though they were. That was the whole concept of creation. Right? And even when God is saying, very good, God is a faith being. You may not have arrived at very good. God will say, very good. It doesn't make him a liar. God is faith. When God speaks, God is speaking faith. But from the man's end, he had not come to very good. Why? Because Jesus, they called him in the days of his flesh. They said, good master. He said, why callest thou me good? He said, there is none good but God. Meaning that thing, good, can only be an appellation that belongs to God. So when God said, very good, God was speaking from the end of his intention for all of creation. So man had not arrived there. So that was a problem per se. But that problem was not a problem without solution. The solution was, can you follow how I want to lead you to arrive at very good? And then God gave an instruction, right? From every tree that is in the garden, feed on. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from it. In the day that you eat from it, you will die. But if it was very good, should he die? Because God cannot die. Are you getting what I'm saying? God can't die, but he can die. So, meaning there was a problem per se. Now, something made that problem a problem. Are you getting what I'm saying? Something made that problem a problem, and that thing is called sin. Say sin. So the journey, actually, as we have been going through Bible study, has been, if we can, you know, relate with this, the Lord has been interested in transferring senses to us. Abi? Daddy has, initially we started looking at how to study the Bible, the essence of the scriptures, right? And we journeyed from there. Daddy now began to, by the Spirit, teach us the milk sense, right? How that everything we saw in Acts Acts chapter 2 from verse 41 to 47 was for to bring a sense to the people. Right? Let's look at Acts chapter 2. This is Bible study. We're going to be reading a lot of scriptures. Hallelujah. So let's quickly run through scriptures. Acts chapter 2 from verse 41. It said, "And they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers." Now, this was the process that was meant to work a sense in them. Are you getting what I'm saying? This was a process, right? That was meant to, if we track back to, I think, verse 40 of that Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Let's jump to verse 38. Acts chapter 2 from verse 38. Please, let's open our Bibles. It's Bible study, okay? Don't just look at the projection. Open your Bible. It's good to open your Bible. It said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall what? Receive the gifts of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Right? "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation." I checked the meaning of untoward. It means unexpected, inappropriate, or unfavorable. Hallelujah. You know, when you say, oh, I just want to check everything to make sure there is nothing untoward. Now, that generation has been untoward because that's not the expected trajectory of God from the beginning, right? That's an inappropriate way because scripture says, all we as sheep have what? Have gone astray. But now we are supposed to be led back to the shepherd and the bishop of our souls. Amen? So, how to actually turn from that untoward generation was to repent, be baptized, right? Receive Jesus and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. After you have now received the gift of the Holy Ghost, you will now engage in what will bring a sense of milk. Hallelujah. So the story of the Bible, like I was saying, that it's a love story, right? From the beginning, was shown in that Satan thought he had victory from the garden, right? There was a confidence that he had in that the person that God said he has dominion over everything that he created on earth, right? Satan hijacked that dominion from him. And also knowing that it is from that same man that every other man was going to come, that was also some level of victory because he has settled himself for many generations. Are you getting what I'm saying? Satan was already, you know, the way politicians, they try to make, somebody will say, if you get this post, make sure that while you are there, you amass enough that your generation will not suffer. You know, that's the mind. That's the mind that makes people so gullible that they gather a lot of the funds that belong to the nation and transfer it to themselves because of a political position. Why? They are thinking of posterity. They are thinking of many generations. So Satan, through Adam, thought he had secured many generations. In fact, all generation of men. Because there was no way out, actually. And daddy was teaching it. It was almost impossible for anybody to be free. So we began to see how that from Adam, after they sinned, God chased them out of the garden. Are we together? Let's follow the story. God chased them out of the garden, and then Adam knew his wife, and she brought forth a child, named him Cain. And the meaning of Cain for her is that I have received a man from the Lord, right? Satan quickly went after that one. You know, he was supposed to be a man from the Lord. That was the meaning of his name. But Satan went after him. And by the time Satan went after him, he came to a place where sin was at the door. You know, our heart is the door. But you know, your heart is the door, right? But before you get to the door, you are in a place. Are we together? You are in a place before you get to the door. So that place you are is the mind, right? Because the compartment of the soul is heart and mind. Mind is the one that relates with your natural senses, right? Heart is one that is hidden and is closer to your spirit. So for them to say that sin was lying at the door of his heart, meaning that there was a kind of prosperity of sin in the mind. And it was about to enter hearts. And he also had a brother, Abel. Now, scripture says, in the process of time, both of them came to offer, right? And Abel, what did he bring? The firstlings of his flock. Let's look at it. Yeah, thank you so very much. Projection. He said, and Abel, okay, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. You know, in children's Sunday school, they'll tell you, Cain brought bad fruit, spoiled fruit. That's why God didn't accept him. Actually, no. Say no. No, Bible didn't say that. Scripture says he brought of the fruit. They didn't say spoiled fruit. We like to edit Bible so that it can appeal to our own carnal judgment. They didn't say he bought bad fruit. He said he brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of his flock, and of the fat thereof. Now, does this somehow remind you of how they offer in the Levitical priesthood? You know, as at this time, there was nothing like the law. The law had not come. It was until Hebrews chapter 11 that we realized that Abel offered that offering by faith. That what he did was faith. Now, faith, what faith does is, faith goes outside, beyond the boundaries of the mind, and is able to pick something that will please God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, with mind, you can't please God. Now, what Cain brought was things that he feels, with my mind, I can offer to the Lord. So if you look at what happened, he said, and the Lord had respect unto Abel. So the respect God had was not first for the offering. It was first for the person. So what made that offering acceptable was the person and not just the offering. He said, God had respect unto Abel first. And to his offering. Are we seeing that? The next verse, please. Verse 5. But unto Cain. Are you seeing that? Unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And if you see it, what happened? Immediately, Cain was very, very wrought. Now, the wrath of man cannot work righteousness. So it means there was no faith activity there. Right? And the Lord said, why are you angry? Why is your countenance falling? Verse 7. If you bring me fresh fruit. Is that what it says? If you bring me fruit that is very, very big. This one, you kept the big agbalumo. You are not giving me the one that is not ripe. No. He said, if thou doest. It's your person that determines the acceptance of your sacrifice. He said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, right? But a body hast thou prepared. So he said, thou shalt, will you not be accepted if you do well? And he said, if you do not well, he said, sin lieth at the door, and to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now, Daddy Emeka has taught this. He said, this thou shalt rule over him. When you think you are ruling sin, sin is actually ruling you. Thou shalt rule over him doesn't mean he was going to rule over sin. If you think you are reigning on sin, sin is actually reigning on you. Because from there, he killed his brother, right? He killed his brother. And immediately he killed his brother. The Lord placed a curse upon him and said, cursed be. Because before they left Eden, before they were even born, God had already cursed the ground, right? God cursed the ground for Adam. Say, for thy sake, the ground is cursed, and it will bring forth to you thorns and thistles. Right? He now said, you are cursed from that earth. Why? Which earth? Because the earth opened its mouth to receive the blood of your brother from your hand. Curse came out.
and latched on him.
Are you getting what I'm saying? And then he negotiated and said, this thing that you have done is too much. Anybody that see me, you see, flesh wanted to still preserve his life, negotiating. He wasn't asking for forgiveness. He was asking for his life to be preserved. He said, anybody that see me will want to kill me. So God said, I will put a mark on you. Anybody that see you will not kill you. And immediately he left the presence of the Lord. And then he went to start building things. He built a city, married, gave birth, named the child Enoch, named his city after his son, Enoch. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then God showed mercy, gave Eve and Adam another child. They said concerning Seth that he was born in the image and likeness of Adam. And when he gave birth to Seth, Seth also begat Enos. And afterward, men began to call upon the name of the Lord, right? Are you getting what I'm saying? Remember that their spirits are still dead. But what happened is that sin did not so prosper in the generation of Adam. You know, Cain had departed. Because what we began to see along the lines of the scripture is that it's almost as if God will choose one, Satan will choose one for everybody that was coming. Abi? So when Enos was born. Let's look through the scripture. We just want to make a quick journey from the beginning and see how the Lord will quickly help us. So, verse 26 of chapter 4, he said, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, chapter 5 details all the generations of Adam, you know, down to Noah. Say Noah. It details all the generations of Noah, of Adam, down to Noah. And what you will see, really, really, are we together? Why they were showing the generations of Adam was to show you that men still lived. Right? They will say, and this person lived 100 and something, and then beget. Right? Men were still living. All of them. Down the generation of Adam, down to Noah, they were people who were living, right? Even though their spirits was dead. But one unfortunate thing, which you can never ever write off about them, is that after all the, and they lived, what you hear is, and all the days of so-so person was this, and he died. So death was still operating. But it was slower compared to those of the people of Cain. Are you getting my point? Because Cain was achieving things. Everything you are seeing, Cain, you hear, he is the father of the people that do this. He's the first person that did this. His child was the father of those that were rearing cattle. The first person that played organ. They were achieving things. But we never heard concerning them that they lived. But they also were dying. But they were dying at a faster rate. Why? Because sin so prospered. Now, down to Noah, people were living. But he now got to a point in Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We know this scripture. I'll read. It says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God. Now, these sons of God here, we've been taught they are not angels, right? Because angels don't marry and they are neither given to marry, right? So, these sons of God were children that were from the generations of Adam, who ought to continue living. But they now switched and they chose what? Wives. You know, they didn't commit fornication. Man had not fallen to that point. At least the sons of God had not fallen to the point of committing fornication. He said they chose wife unto themselves. Now, that unto themselves is showing that they have come to a place where they were no longer using faith. They were now using mind. Because they were looking at the beauty of the daughters of men. And they were using that to decide who to marry. And what did God say? In verse 3, the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Meaning to an extent, the spirit of the Lord has been trying to guide them. Right? But he now came to point that, he said, my spirit shall not always, he said, for that he also.
When they say he also, meaning flesh has already existed. Now, he also, these sons of God, also, they are now become what? They are now become what? And God decided to make a decision. He said, verse 6, the same God who said everything he created was very good. Verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the reason was because the thoughts of the heart of man was evil continually. You know, they didn't say the thought of the mind. That thing has entered heart. It was evil continually. Can you see? Continually. When they say something is evil continually, and God said, ah, my spirit will not strive. It means that they were already gone. Are you with me? It means they were already gone. So God now decided to destroy all flesh so that he can start again. Right? So they said, but Noah was a man who was righteous in his generation. Right? So God now picked Noah and then picked his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife. And he told him, pick of all the animals, two by two. The clean beasts, the unclean beasts, pick all of them and put them in. Building an ark. We know the story. After the floods abated and all that were flesh had already died. You know, you would think that Satan has lost. Eh? You know, out of Noah's own seed, there was a seed. Everything is supposed to now start afresh. Let's start on a clean slate. But scripture says concerning, I think that's Ham, right? That he was carrying a seed. The name of that seed was Canaan. And our daddy, Reverend Coyote, has defined. He said that thing was what it was what Noah was causing. So Ham saw his father naked, having drunk wine in his tent, and mocked. And then went to report to his brother, Shem and Japheth, right? Those ones decided, rather than mock their father, because they still have a measure of life. Are you getting? They had not come to a place of mind. They had not come to a place where they were moving by, because he mocked by reason of the things his eyes saw. Are you getting what I'm saying? There's where we are going, but let's just follow this story. So he mocked because he saw his father. And then those ones, they rather than even look at their father, they took a wrapper, a garment, and walked with their back and covered the father. And when the father was awoken from his drunkenness, he knew that's a man that had life. You know, many people, when you're drunk, you can't remember Jack. When they tell you, you slept in the gutter, you mean sleep gutter. Well, you're exaggerating. He knew. You know, that new was the same new when Adam woke up and said, this is my flesh. This is the bone of my bone. There was still a measure of everlasting life. And he knew what his son has done. And rather than curse the person that did it, he cursed his seed, Canaan. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that seed was Satan's. You know that he was saying last week, 2 weeks ago. He said, don't give Satan a chance. He said, if Satan will just say, don't worry, serve God, 99%. Just give me 1%. He said, that 1%. That's why God would have you serve him with all your hearts and all your might. Because God knows you can't give no place to the devil. I used to have a colleague during NYSC. He said, if you give Satan a chance, he go take chances. And I saw great wisdom in it. That if you give him chance, he will take chances. So, it was just a chance for Satan. And from that guy, sin continued. Right? And then, they began to talk about, you know, the generations of Noah and all of that. And they traced that generation to Abraham. Say Abraham. Right? They traced the generation of Noah, I think from his son, Japheth, and they traced it to Abraham. So it's almost like God will separate one for himself. And Satan will go and be wasting another. God will just separate one for himself. Right? Are we together? So, Abraham, we know the story. God called him to leave his father's house after his father had died, Terah, who died in Haran, right? And God told him, I want to take you, I want to lead you to a place where I would show you. Now, somebody who is using mind, will you follow that kind of instruction? Now, what will mind tell you? Mind will tell you, how can you say you will show me a place? Okay, imagine I say, enter car. Where are we going? To a place where I will show you. Now, what will make a person yield to instruction is because something is at work. Say faith. Say faith. So, God began to preach gospel to Abraham. And there was a reason. Say there was a reason. There was a reason why God was preaching faith to Abraham. We are going to see it as we journey through the teaching today. The Lord will help us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. So Abraham followed and all of that. And then Abraham gave birth to... So God told him about a seed that was coming, right? And God said, that seed is the one I will give all this land to. Are we together? And God promised him a seed. Along the line of waiting for the seed, something entered. And then he gave birth to a child called Ishmael, which is the seed of the flesh, not the seed of promise. Can you see? Satan still find a way to enter. Satan found a way to what? To enter. So he gave birth to an Ishmael. Ishmael is to try now. Abby? But God still came and said, Abraham, I am thy seed, an exceeding great reward. And God was, you know, trying to bring him to a place where he would actually believe that a seed was coming. And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, right? Genesis chapter 15, right? And then, you know, Ishmael was cast away because he was the bondwoman's child and he's not the seed of promise. All of that. Are we together? And Abraham, even when Sarah passed, also had other children through Keturah, right? That was where the Midianites and the other people came from. Are we together? But the seed was Isaac, who was the seed of promise. Are we getting what I'm saying? Now, Abraham was called father of faith because he lived a life that showed that this person wasn't using mind. Right? This person wasn't using, you know, when I started, I said the direction of the Bible study has been to emboss mind, senses to us. So it shows that he wasn't using natural senses to live his life. Because Abraham was rich and he was rich in cattle. But prior to law coming, Abraham walked in love. Right? When it was time and he and Lot had expanded, the herdsmen started having issues, and then Abraham said, look around, peek. Now, that's not mind. Mind will tell you, I'm the one that gave you all the wealth. Everything you have is mine. If I did not take you out of the awe of Chaldees, you would not have become what you became. You are an ungrateful. That's mind talking. That's five senses of a man acting. But Abraham said, peak is not good. I said, we are brethren. We should not strive. That's not normal on earth. So, what was normal on earth was Lot. Lot looked, and then he looked. He beheld the plains of Sodom. He said, they look like a garden well watered by the Lord. He said, they look like the garden of Eden. And then he chose. And then God, you know, immediately Lot left, God came. God now said, shall be Lot looked up and beheld. You to look up. And look around. Now, because I'm the one telling you to look up, look around. I am going to give your seed all these things. Don't worry. And he believed God. Are you getting it? He was not bitter with Lot. Because if he was bitter with Lot, when they brought another love demand, in that Lot was captured with his family, he will not have packed 318 trained servants and armed them and told them to go and fight for Lot. It shows that he wasn't using mind, because what was normal on earth was mind to say, I told him. Very ungrateful child. Good riddance to bad rubbish. You know all of those statements, they are mind statements. You have calculated and you have come to a conclusion that he got what he was deserved. But he packed. Do you know what it means to pack 318 people? It means he was risking his life, risking the life of all that he had, and they went to fight. What if they didn't come back? They fought, they won, he brought Lot back. And as he was coming, many temptations, the king of Sodom approached him and said to him, he said, give me the men, you can take the goods. Abraham said, me, I will not receive anything from you, even a latchet of a shoe, save what the young men have eaten, so that you will not say you made Abraham rich. He said, I have lifted up my hands. I have lifted up my hands to the Lord, the possessor, the creator of heaven and earth. Right? After he overcame that temptation, not by mind, still by faith, the king of Salem approached him, Melchizedek. There was no land called Salem. He was a priest of righteousness, a priest of peace. Right? And then he said, Abraham, possessor of heaven and earth. And he gave him bread and wine. And Abraham paid tithe of all to him. Now, there was nothing called tithe. But Levi was in Abraham's loins, and Abraham paid tithe. By faith. Are you seeing faith? It was a faith journey. So he paid it. He paid tithe. And then he left. As at that time, Abraham has not given birth to the seed of promise. He had not given birth to Isaac. And then, Lot, as we know, after Abraham delivered him, he went back to Sodom. Right? Because that's what mind will normally do. Because the people that were threatening them, those four kings, they were actually four kings. They were four kings, and they came against five. Are you getting my point? They had already been slaughtered, so there is no problem. Let's go back to our houses. No need to come back with Abraham. Abraham was not offended. The guy went back to Sodom. And then, the last trial, before the main trial, Abraham was at the doorpost of his house, and then he saw three men walking. And he quickly went to meet them. Come on. How did he know? Thank you. How did he know? He was someone who has been given to entertaining strangers. And by entertaining strangers, he entertained angels. That was faith. Because mind will tell you, what concerns me? Did I know them before? I know you before. You be my family. They work out, they go, your go. I day my day. Me, where I see never get shy. Where I see, they think about my shy. He quickly did what? He ushered them in. He said, don't just pass by like that. Please sit down. He went to meet his wife. Kill the fatted cow. Make bread. Make this. He presented it. Sharp, sharp. And they ate. I didn't even know how they ate it. How did they eat? They ate. And when they were done, they said, where's your wife, Sarah? He said, she's inside. He said, okay, you know, I promised you that she will give birth. He said, at this time of the year, the next year, she will have a seed. And Sarah laughed. He said, they didn't leave where they were. He said, why did Sarah laugh? Yeah, I didn't laugh. He said, well, you surely laughed. They didn't get angry with her, you know. You laughed. So as they were going, the Lord said, seeing that Abraham is going to be a great nation, should I do this thing and not tell him? Okay, Abraham, come. See, temptation. Not temptation. God was just executing commandment to him. So he said, the cries of Sodom have reached out to me, for their sin is grave. He said, and I'm going to come and destroy them. That's why we came. He was thinking of Lot. Say he was thinking of Lot. That was another opportunity to say, this guy know the year word. I don't tell him. I risk my life. Packed 318 people from my house to go and deliver. He still went back. You know the things we say? We say, I've done my best. It cannot be helped. It cannot be what? It cannot be helped. You see that activity of him interceding? That was prayer. You know it's difficult to, when you say pray for somebody, okay. We can gist about the person. But not pray. We will just have this. God, he will help us. So it is where. Well. We are hearing word of righteousness. Satan is wicked. Pray. And the Lord was saying, and he said, because he knew God, he began to bargain. He said, I know you. If there, you won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. If there are 50, will you destroy them? God said, I won't. He knows there were no 50. If there were 30, he did it till they were. If there were 10, God said, I wouldn't. And by reason of that intercession, they met Lot also, who was at the gate of the city. No, though Lot was not doing what the city was doing, but there was a law running that was difficult to detach him from that land. And that law was what Daddy was calling about last 2 weeks ago. Flesh. Hallelujah. Flesh is what would always constantly make us subject to the law of sin. You remember he was using five brothers. He said, the law of sin, day like this. You know, Yoruba will say, Dada Oleja. But he gets one aburo. So that flesh, gone, is the one that makes sure that we are subject to the law of sin. And flesh really is a system that Satan designed that plays on our senses. What you can see, what you can hear, what you can touch, what you can taste, what you can feel, and use it to live. That's flesh. Are you getting my point? So, they delivered Lot and all of that. You could see his wife perished because the sin was too strong in her. They say, don't look back. She still look back. Ah! I will not look back. Theory warehouse that I'm selling Coca-Cola. And you want to rain down fire. I will not look back. She looked back and became a pillar of salt. Right? And Lot somehow escaped. But he didn't really escape. Because in the end, they gave birth to abominable children because his daughters laid with him. And those children were the ones that later still fought the seeds of promise. Later. Are you getting my point? So Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Eventually, they cast out, we know the story, they cast out Ishmael and the mother, and then he gave gifts unto Keturah and her children, and then Isaac was the one with the promise. Now, God wanted to pata-pata enact a covenant with Abraham. Then he woke him up one morning and said, I want you to go to a place that I will show you. I want you to go to Moriah, to a mountain that I will show you. They didn't tell him the mountain. And he went, took his son, put firewood on his head, he held the fire, and then his servants followed him. When they got to a certain place, after he had known the mountain, he told the servants, wait, me and the lad will go up to worship. As they were going, the lad asked, because I know that this is not how we used to do sacrifice. This is fire, sir. This is wood. Where is the offering? He said, the Lord will provide. That's faith. Not mind. That is what? Faith. Not mind. And they got to the mountain. And he told the son, lie down. To show you that that child also had learned faith. He laid down. If it was Ishmael, you know if he triumphed. All the sons of Keturah, you will lay them, you will lay who? Lay waiting. So he laid Isaac and tied him. And he took a knife ready to slaughter the lad. And God said, see that you do it not. For now I know. Meaning God has been checking to know whether you fear me. You see all those victories that Abraham has got, God was still checking. So God's checklist is deep. Because if I was me, I would say, I would have said, now I know since. I would have said, now I know. But God said, take Isaac, thy only son. That was not his only son, according to mind. But according to faith, that was his only son. He said, take Isaac, thy only son, and go and sacrifice him. And as he was about to do, God said, don't do it. I see that you fear me, and all of that. And God made a covenant with him. Right? And that covenant, Daddy taught some weeks ago. He said, covenant is sustained by commandment. Right? That if you deviate from the commandment, you may not be able to walk in the ordinance of the covenant. You may not also be able to profit from the covenant. Right? He used the children of David as an example. Are we getting it? And then, we all know the story. Isaac also continued in the life of his father, right? He continued in the life of his father. Then, he also knew his wife, Rebecca. Yes, Rebecca. She gave birth to two. Satan came for one. Did you see that? Satan did was he quickly came for one. That was a mighty guy, a mighty hunter. If he hunt anything, and according to mind, say according to mind, and the laws of the natural, as a first child, you deserve inheritance. But according to faith, he was not worthy. Because before he was born, the mother was wondering, why is this pregnancy like this? God said, the reason is because there are two nations in you. They are warring. But I will tell you what, the elder will serve the younger. That's not according to natural law. It's not according to mind. And when she gave birth to Esau, gave birth to Jacob, Esau naturally, according to mind, had inheritance hanging over him. But we know the transaction that happened. Just because of hunger of the belly, he despised his birthright. He sold it to his brother. He lost the blessing. Right? He lost the blessing. He lost the blessing. And then Jacob, you know, went to the house of Laban, did all he could with Laban, made a lot of wealth, was coming back. Are you getting what I'm saying? You know, one of the things that struck me, I think it's in Genesis 33, thereabout. When Isaac or Jacob was coming back, you know the way he arranged his family? He arranged the flock first, a gift for Esau. Then he arranged the children of the servants, right, with their children. Then the children of Leah and her children. Then Rachel and Joseph, because Benjamin was not yet born, and then he was behind. So somewhere, he still had issue with mind. He had not really come to faith. That was mind. Say mind. Because if they kill this one, maybe this one will escape. If they kill this one, maybe this one will escape. If they come, they now kill all of them. Me, I will what? Escape. My life is still preserved. You say sharp guy. Mind will say sharp guy. Hallelujah. But when he got to Esau, what struck me, before he got to Esau, when he told them to go ahead, he now waited behind. He was doing like a retreat, right? And on that mountain, the same mountain where that lady thought that when he first got to that mountain, he prayed to God, if you will give me what I will eat, what I will wear, and you bring me back safely, I will worship you. The same mountain, when he got there, he wrestled with an angel all through. Till almost the breaking of the dawn. And then the angel, you know, said, what's your name? He said, why are you asking for my name? He now blessed him. The angel blessed him and said, what is your own name? He said, my name is what? Jacob. He said, you will no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Meaning, a blessing had come upon him. So that blessing was not just all he had any longer. But when Esau approached and Esau saw him, Esau said, what's the meaning of all these plenty things? He said, I just did it if I may find favor in your sight. Esau said, don't worry, I have enough. Keep what you have. He didn't know that the person he was talking to was not just about cattle. He had received a blessing. From that time, Jacob became Israel. That was when he fully collected the blessing, the inheritance. So the genealogy continued from him. He gave birth to 12, right? Do we remember? He gave birth to 12. We know their names. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and all of them. Down to Joseph. Joseph escaped. Joseph was sold. Went to bondage. All of that. Arrived in Egypt. Are you getting my point? There's where I'm going. So that's, you see the beautiful story of the Bible. Something was consistent. So Levi was the one who was supposed to be the priest. Priests were supposed to come from him, right? And that was what happened. So they separated Levi from 12. They remained 11. But you know they're supposed to be 12. They separated Levi, so they remained 11. They now removed Joseph and replaced him with his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Because before Jacob died, Jacob blessed them. But how did Jacob bless? Jacob switched the hands. And he blessed Ephraim, which was the younger. Are you getting my point? And because Joseph wanted to use mind, he arranged, his father's eyes was dim. His father was not seeing clearly. And then he arranged the two children. put the one who is the first child at the right hand side. Put the one who is the second child at the left, so that according to mind, he will bless them. But the person he was dealing with was a man of faith. By the time he was going to bless them, he switched his hand. Jacob said, why are you doing this? He said, I know. But he will surely serve his younger brother. Surely. Because that's the way they ordained it, according to faith. Are we getting what I'm saying? Now, all of what God was doing was to try and manage sin, so that sin doesn't get exceedingly sinful. Because God always leaves a witness for himself. Are you getting my point? You know, from all of that, they went to Egypt, where the journey now began. Because that journey, Abraham had seen it in a vision. Eh? Do we remember? Are we Bible students? Abraham had seen it. They got into bondage, and then after a while, they left by Moses, who was born by a mother who was a Levite, and a father who was a Levite. Are you getting my point? And they gave birth to a Moses. Now, Moses was now the one that the Lord committed the law to. Say the law. Now, the law was what was supposed to now start helping to deal with sin. Pastor, sir. Because prior to the law, say prior to the law. Prior to the law, people were in transgression, but you can't blame them. Because where there is no law, there is no sin. But how did a Joseph know in Potiphar's house that I should not lay with my master's wife? Because if I do this, I will do this great wickedness against God. There was no law like that. But that was a measure of faith, right? Because law had not come. So all of them used faith in a measure. That's why you can see them in the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11. Are you getting my point? But then law now came. Say law came. Now, what law was supposed to do was to now start telling you, don't do this, don't do this. If you do this, it's sin. 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 Right? Now, law itself, say law itself, was actually not the problem. Scripture says in Romans that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Now, that's the problem. The law is what? The law is spiritual. I am carnal. I am carnal means I am a mind person. I am somebody that I use mind to live. So how can I use a spiritual law spiritually when I am a mind person? So it was difficult for them, because the plan of God when he called them to Sinai was he wanted to write it on their hearts and on their mind. But they said, no, Moses, all these thunderings and shakings, we are going to die. You go and hear. You go and receive it. And Moses went up the mount. God wrote those things on him. Even though it seemed like they wrote it on the table of stone. But it was in him. Because they called it the laws of Moses. Right? Are you getting my point? So, law was now what was supposed to start dealing with flesh. But truly, you can deal with the works of the flesh, but you have not dealt with flesh. So even for works of the flesh, law failed woefully. Why? Because men were carnal. And the thing about the law was that because it was not written in heart and in mind, it was written on tables of stone. If you break one, you break all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it was difficult. You know, for instance, if you, for a tree now, if you see a tree and you want to deal with the tree and you pluck up all the fruit, have you really dealt with the tree? You've just removed the fruit. Cutting off the tree and uprooting it, Yoruba will say, tigbongbo, tigbongbo. You know the meaning of tigbongbo, tigbongbo. That's with all the roots, you remove it and you burn it. That's another work. But you can remove fruit, you've not removed tree. In fact, naturally, if somebody is living in a house and you see a baby serpent, you know, if you kill the baby serpent, if you know snake very well, what will be in your mind is that the mother is somewhere. So, that's not a kind of victory. You will still be afraid because what did a child of serpents come and do in my house? It means the mother is somewhere. And mothers don't reveal themselves like inexperienced baby serpents. So, law was not able to deal with sin, works of the flesh, because it was not written in heart. It was a weak covenant delivered by an angel. It was not written in heart. So people were just, hey, marhadina haste. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're actually a product of laws. The laws that run us is what produce the life that we live. And Daddy was teaching, opening Romans chapter 6. We're going to be looking quickly. Are we being blessed? Amen. So the book of Romans actually is an epistle that describes the power play between law of sin, the flesh, law of Moses, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's what Romans is about. I want us to go and study the book of Romans this season. God will give us breakthrough. God will give us understanding. A lot of secrets on why you do the things you do are in that book. So, the law could not do all those things, right? Because they were just using what is written. It was not in their heart. They were using what is written. So, and the way they were making atonement was that if you commit this kind of sin, offer this kind of sacrifice. So people just said, if I don't buy doof, I can do what I want to do. So people did what they want to do. And they come and offer doof. So sin was prospering. Scripture says sin was what made the law was what made sin appear sin. And sin became exceedingly sinful. So sin prospered greatly, such that the people that God delivered from Egypt, they didn't make it to Promised Land. All of them died. Yet they had the law. Now, you know, all the Gentile nations didn't have law. They had law, they still perish. Why? Say flesh. Flesh was what was dealing with them greatly. Now, if we jump back to Acts chapter 2, the milk of the word of Christ was what was now supposed to deal with those works of the flesh by reason of a sense, right? That we read. Apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, prayers. It now gave them a sense. And that sense was made, what made them, let's look at verse 44. Thank you. Verse 44. Verse 44. And they continue steadfast. Okay. Verse 45. Okay. And all that believe. Verse 45, please. 45. Now, this is a sense. Say sense. Sense of milk. They did what? They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Mind. Say mind. We not give you this kind of sense. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, this milk was what was supposed to first come and deal with what the law struggled with for many generations. But, you know, sin is deeper than works of the flesh, sir. Flesh is different from works of the flesh. Flesh, works of the flesh are the fruits. Flesh itself is a tree. Right? So, milk can't really deal with flesh. The best milk can do is to wash you. Initial sanctification and make some of the works, most all the works of the flesh. If you actually drink milk well, you should be sanctified. Fornication should not be named amidst you. Adultery, lying, malice, anger, all of those things. That's what milk should have dealt with. But doesn't mean you are perfect, because there is still condemnation hanging. Say condemnation. Hallelujah. You know, one time Daddy thought, Daddy Oyego get taught. And he said, sin is weak. I struggle to believe that thing. How you say sin is weak? Sin that has been killing people for many generations. But truly, sin is weak. Because if not for the law, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56. I said we're going to be reading a lot of scriptures, but it seems like I've been preaching more than teaching. God will help us. 1 Corinthians 15, 16. Very quickly. He said, the sting of death is what? Sin. The sting of death. So, what death would, sin will eventually deliver to anybody who allows it to prosper is what? Death. But actually, the strength of sin is the law. And why does it, why is it his strength? Because flesh, they deal with man. So, that is what strengthens sin. Because you cannot, you can't beat Satan on his own ground. You know, Nigerian Premier League. They say Nigerian Premier League, when you go to people's home, you can't win. They will do Ojoro, either beat the referee, changes for everybody. You shall, home advantage is home advantage. Hallelujah. So, the same way with sin, you can't beat Satan on his own terrain. If you are going to beat Satan, you need to go up. If your affections are here, you can never win Satan. Scripture says, for the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, meaning they are not here, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. Can you see? Those are things of the mind. Thoughts, high things, strongholds. Those are things that want to exalt themselves above another knowledge, which is the knowledge of Christ, which is supposed to deliver you. Are you getting my point? So it is difficult to beat Satan in the terrain of flesh. You cannot. He said, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It is simple. Because the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another. They can never agree. Are you getting what I'm saying? And God is a spirit. So you can never please God with flesh. So that was why the law was impossible to deliver people from sin. He said they were coming every time to come and offer. But those comers were not made perfect. Because they were constantly being weakened by flesh. That's together with the high priest. Together with who? So majorly, when an high priest wants to offer, he offers for sins of his own self and for the people. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, letter kills, right? Spirit gives life. Do we agree? So, ideally, if the law had been more than letter to them, they would have come into a measure of life. Daddy was talking about Moses last week or 2 weeks ago, that Moses was the meekest man on earth. What did that was a life of faith that he was able to, those laws were inside him. Moses became the meekest man on earth. But the other people who were the children of Israel, who he also gave the law to, they could not, they were never meek. In fact, it was their unmeekness that dealt with Moses' meekness. You know, Moses didn't, his meekness didn't ascend beyond the earth. If it did, the things those people were doing would not have gotten to him. So, Jesus was another kind of meek man. Said, meek and lowly in heart. Moses tried, but he got to a point. Say, he got to a point. Ah, he don't try. Over these people, stiff-necked people. And then Moses spoke angrily. And he forgot to sanctify God before the people. And he could not enter the promised land. Meaning, Moses also was stopped by reason of death. Are you getting what I'm saying? But the law really, really ought to be spiritual. Right? All right. So, I said, all of what I was saying was to show you that God now had to bring a, what is it called? Something that you used to win. A joker. Right? Because Satan was confident. He has fallen. It's that same confidence that made him want to go and strive for the body of Moses. And they had to send Michael. Don't agree with him. What nonsense. He wanted to lay claim on it that I was the one that failed him. Because he was the one that moved the people to still frustrate him. Because he doesn't like men who are not using his things to live. So if you say, I was with a wonderful, beautiful sister today. She's even in church now. She will know that she's the one I'm talking about, but you can't know. And she was saying that, it's like, it was when I entered this path that everything, the story of my life just changed. Now, what that is showing is that Satan will not actually like you to be doing things that will deliver you from him. Are you getting what I'm saying? So if he sees that you now enter a place where they are going to be delivering to, he will want to frost, he will try to make sure that plenty things happen so that you can be discouraged and go back and say, oh man, let me do it again. If not, so it be, make I come out. Are you getting my point? So Satan is always gunning for those who are living a life contrary to his life. Amen. So Jesus, our Lord, came into the picture that they read in that 2 Fridays ago concerning Malachi chapter 2, right? And God was rebuking the priest. He was saying that they were cursed. Why? Because they've not walked in the law that they ought to keep in their mouth, right? So, and he connected it to Romans chapter 8, that there is therefore now no condemnation. He said, you can be, that's what those who are learning, once saved, ever saved, they don't want to accept. I am in Christ, no condemnation. But the reason why there is no condemnation is not because you are in Christ. It is because you are not walking according to the flesh. Can you see it? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk. So it is your walk that will determine whether there will be condemnation or no condemnation. It is not what you are claiming. So God called those people in Malachi. He called them priests. He didn't say you are not priests. He said priests. And he began to lay curses on them. So, and those are people who are supposed to be in the sanctuary. So somebody can be in the sanctuary and still receive curse. But Christ really had delivered us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is in the condemnation that if you fail one, you are guilty of all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God brought our Lord Jesus, who now changed the order by fulfilling the law, condemning sin in his flesh, and bringing about another technology, which is the righteousness that is by faith, not righteousness according to the works of the law. Because righteousness that is by faith, it deal with flesh steady. Righteousness according to the law is weak because flesh will still deal with it. Are you getting my point? So Jesus was a joker for Satan. Satan was walking by prediction. In fact, scripture said Jesus ought not to really have been a priest because priests, they come from the Levitical priesthood. But Jesus came from Judah. And for Judah, nothing was spoken about priests. But let's look at Jacob's blessing of his children. Let's go to Genesis quickly. And we will see that everything in Bible aligns. Everything in Bible aligns. Genesis chapter 49. Genesis 49. We'll just read about Judah and move on. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you which shall befall you in the last days. Right? And then, he spoke to Reuben and he placed a limitation on him because he slept with his father's wife and all of that. He spoke concerning Simon and Levi. Now, let's look at Judah. Let's look at Judah from verse 8. He said, Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall what? Praise. He said, thy hand shall be in the neck of thy enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? He said, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and unto him shall the gathering of his people be. Binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments in wine. Is he looking like Jesus? And his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. Is he looking like Jesus? But then, do you think there's anything Jesus that is going to come from Judah? That was the wisdom of God. That was an hidden wisdom to bring solution from where Satan was not expecting. He thought he has finished everybody in the Levitical priesthood. Because by Malachi chapter 2, you know, Malachi was the switch from Old Testament to New Testament. Priests were already cursed. So Satan thought he had won. Because after Malachi was the dark days before Jesus came. After Malachi was the dark ages. Because even priests, Levitical priesthood, don't finish. God said that their solemn feast was poo-poo, and he was going to rub the feces of their solemn feast on their face. So even the Levitical priests at that time had received a curse. So which priest will now save? So Satan was lounging. He didn't know that solution was coming. And solution came when somebody, a John, which was prophesied in Malachi that a Elias was going to come, right? Who is going to turn the heart of the fathers to the children, right? And John came and began to declare, the kingdom of God is come. He said he would prepare the way. So all of those things, they didn't really understand it. And Jesus came into the scene. So what Jesus brought was righteousness by faith. Say righteousness by faith. Now, I want to show us something very quickly. This is Bible study. Are we being blessed? James chapter 2, verse 10. I've said this repeatedly. I just want to put some scriptural reference to it. James chapter 2, verse 10. It said, for whosoever shall what? Keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point is what? Guilty of all. You can see that this is a very difficult thing to maintain. Read verse 11. He said, for he that said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not kill. Now, if you commit no adultery, yet if you kill, you have become a transgressor of the law. So Satan has many opportunities. If you escape this one, you will not escape this one. You understand? So there was nobody that was able to fulfill this law. But there was a secret to fulfilling this law that not many people paid attention to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus brought the possibility of righteousness that is by faith. We see that in Galatians chapter 3. Ideally, we would read the entire Galatians 3. Very long read, but is loaded with a lot of judgment. But because of our time, we'll see how the Lord will lead us. Just have a few more minutes and we're done. In the name of Jesus. So we're saying that Abraham did righteousness by faith before the law came, right? In Genesis chapter 15, he said he believed God, right? And it was accounted unto him for righteousness, which is life, right? But he had to come to peace when he received the covenant. Are we together? All right, let's move very quickly. So we're going to be looking at what this means for us as Word of Righteousness believers. Now, the secret actually to fulfilling the law that people did not really know, and it was there, but many people didn't know. That secret is premised on one thing. Say love. Say love. Now, love is the royal law, according to James. Let's look at James quickly. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verse 8 to 12. Then we'll read Romans and we'll read Galatians just to show. James chapter 2. He said, if you fulfill the royal law according to scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You what? You do well. He said, but if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. You know, respect to person is an activity of mind. You think, I like Sister Tomisin, she's my kind of person. Sister Debbie, not my kind of person. You see, that's respect of person. He said, you what? You commit sin. And you are a transgressor of the law. Right? Verse 10. He said, for whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. Okay, we read this earlier. Verse 12. Please, let's read verse 12. Verse 12 now says, so speak ye and so do as they that shall be judged by the what? Law of liberty. You know, the law of liberty that we are in now is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Right? Students of the Bible. Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse 8 to 10. He said, owe no man what? Anything. But to what? To love one another. He said, for he that loveth one another, at what? Fulfill the law. Now, this is the key, but not many people know it. Now, what is that love? If you love God and you love your neighbor, you won't commit adultery. You won't fornicate. You won't lie. You won't be angry. You won't steal your brother's things. Can you? That was the secret. But they didn't pay attention to that secret. Because that was actually the fulfillment of the law. That was how to fulfill the law. But if you try to take them one by one, I'm not going to commit this. I'm not going to lie. I will not keep malice. You will start failing one. And if you have failed in one, you have failed in all. So Satan was just using them to play ball. You understand? Because not many people was able to plug into that reality that if I can love God with all of my heart and my mind, and I love my neighbor as myself, I have fulfilled the law. So many of the kings and prophets actually came into fulfillment of the law to a great extent. You know, David also fulfilled the law to a great extent because he also obtained the covenant. But you know, flesh still finished him. By the time he slept with Bathsheba, something happened to that covenant. It began to affect his children. Amon slept with Tamar. Absalom killed Amon. And then the whole team, problem. They said the sword never departed from his home. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5 verse 14. Galatians 5 verse 14. We're almost done. He said, for all the law is what? Fulfilled. All the law. All the law. This was the secret that they did not know. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this. Thou shalt what? Love thy neighbor as thyself. But actually, you know, you can't love your neighbor if you've not loved God. In fact, the best way to love somebody is to love God. So if you love God very, very well, you will know how to love another person. Because many a times, the reason why me and my brothers have issue is because we don't love God enough. Because if we love God, we will love. Now, the wisdom around love is that God expects you to love him with all his heart, all your heart and all your mind. But how he trains you in your love for him is for you to love your brother. So as you are loving your brother, but the reason you are loving your brother, you are going through contradictions, dealings with your brother, if not for God. So if not for God, we always save you. When commandment of love gets very difficult between a husband and a wife, if not, Satan has used if not for children. If not for children, it's weak. Inside if not for children, selfishness, they dear. We're talking today when we're coming from where I went to, and we're talking about how that maybe when a marriage fails and the woman, you know, because of the way that generation, wonderful generation, they were very strong, they can stand in contradiction. But why they are standing in contradiction many a times is if not for my children. Why? Because if I leave, another woman will come and suffer my children. So I'm going to stay even in contradiction. That thing is weak. Even though it helped many of us. Me, I'm a product of it. I will not get into the details, but I'm a product of it, of somebody staying and saying, because of my children, I won't go. Even though I have every right to leave. Are you getting my point? Now, what if not for my children can do is that the woman can get some money. She'll go and build house secretly. You'll not tell the husband. Abi, because all I am doing, I'm doing it for my children. But, you know, if not for God, it's a higher demand. If not for God, we build house and sit there, the husband that offended her. I bought a land. I want to build house. I built house. Are you seeing higher demand? So, really, really, loving God, you can love your brother. So, the secret to actually fulfilling the law that the children of Israel and many people who were supposed to use the law did not know was that the key to fulfilling the law was loving the Lord and loving your neighbor. You know, they came to ask Jesus. They said, which is the greatest law? He said, all the law is fulfilled in this. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. But not many people. Everybody wanted to be doing don't kill. Do you know how many laws they have? Go and read. If you are reading, there's no way you read Leviticus and you will not sleep. There is no way. Let's try it. Me and you should sit down. Be reading Leviticus and read it. And you will not sleep. Many laws. Many ordinances. Many washing. There are different kind of... Somebody is here smiling. One day she sent me list of the different kind of feasts that the children of Israel used to observe and told me, can you please explain it? I said, which kind? Ah, who made me Sunday school? Ah, God. Hallelujah. Because it was much. Wave offering, sin offering, burnt offering, Eh? Thanks offering. Plenty offering. So it was difficult to keep up. Hallelujah. Because you can do one and then you have forgotten another one. You have still failed. Satan just didn't rejoice. Satan was just lounging. You know, be drunk. You won't keep 99 ordinance and correctly do 99 sacrifice. David had to plug into a wisdom and pick the law by the spirit and say, sacrifice and offering, you would us not. Actually, it's not by sacrifice. David had to plug into the spirit. He said, a body has now prepared me. And that body is to do your will. Hey, love, no sorrow. Because God said, I have found a man, David, who will do what? All my will. A man after my heart. A lover. That was a man who used law to enter spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I said, we can be in Christ and still be under condemnation. We must understand that what we are hearing actually is spirit and life. Now, the problem that we can fall into, this is where I'm actually really going. Galatians chapter 3, Paul began to get very displeased with the church in Galatia. And he was talking to them because what happened was that they started in the spirit. Abi, Paul preached to them and they came into some sort of righteousness. But after a while, some people entered into their midst and said, you people are not really the ones. You understand? You are not really the ones. Because number one, you are not circumcised. That one has already disqualified you. You are not a Jew, really. You need to come into circumcision. If you do circumcision, then you can keep the law. And you can keep your Jesus. Nobody is fighting against you. So, they now began to feel that they need circumcision. So, they wanted to use Jesus to be fulfilling law. They wanted to use Jesus. They wanted to go back to circumcision. Go and read. Look at Galatians 3. Hallelujah. Bible is beautiful. Galatians chapter 3. He said, verse 1. What did he call them? He said, oh foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Because Jesus Christ was evidently set forth and crucified amongst them, right? And then Paul was asking them, did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So they heard faith and they received Spirit, right? Verse 4, so that we can move quickly. He said, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, they began in Spirit. Spirit was solution to escaping the law of sin and death. Abi, they now want to be made perfect by the flesh. That perfect by the flesh is going back to the law. We want to start keeping law. We want to wear the something on our head. What is it called that thing? The turban. And then they've circumcised and say, we too, we are law keepers. They'll change their name from Timothy to Tobias. Hallelujah. Then Paul began to correct. He said, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it there be in vain? He said, he therefore that ministered to you the Spirit, the and worketh miracles amongst you. He's talking about himself. He said, did he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 6. He said, even as Abraham, can you see that? Abraham did what? Believe God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. Know ye not that they which are of faith, the same are children of Abraham. He said, and the scripture, oh my God, scripture was foreseeing that God will also justify the Eden, which are the Gentiles. Through faith, they preached gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So, when they were preaching to Abraham, they were thinking of also of the Gentiles. But you know, it looked like they were just thinking of the seed, Isaac. Verse 11. Okay, 9. He says, so then, they which be of faith are blessed by what? Those who be of faith are those who are Gentiles. The Israelites, they are the ones that actually Jesus came for in the flesh. Right? In fact, when Jesus was on earth, he didn't preach to any Gentile nation. It was towards the end of his life that they said some Greek came to visit him. Jesus didn't go and meet them. Jesus said, the time is almost here. Hallelujah. If you are a student of the Bible, if you know, you know. Hallelujah. He said, for as many as are under the works of the law, they are under the curse. Now look at the curse. He said, for it is written, curse is everyone that continueth not in all things. Say all things. So what the curse of the law is that you cannot continue in all things. You go shall miss one. Ninu 99 ordinance. How do you want to fulfill everything? Hallelujah. He said, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident that the just shall what? Live by faith. Verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall what? Live in them. Verse 13. Christ has now redeemed us from the curse of the law. What was the curse of the law? Keeping all the ordinance, right? And breaking one and entering condemnation. In us, being made. So Jesus was made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that was hanged on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Through who? Jesus Christ. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through what? Faith. Verse 15. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it or added to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promise made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. So the seed that God promised Abraham was not Isaac. It was Christ. Isaac was just a shadow, a typifier of Christ, which is the promise that is to come. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because if it was by Isaac, Gentiles don't qualify. Because how do you want to connect yourself from Rome to enter Isaac? Could it work? Meaning you are disqualified. Right? But because the seed was actually by of Christ and not of Isaac, Gentiles qualified. In fact, when they made covenant with Abraham, as at that time, when they started preaching gospel to him, was he in circumcision? He had not yet circumcised. So God knew what he was doing. God was thinking of the whole nation. Because God will have that only the Jews be saved. All men be saved. And come to what? The knowledge of truth. What will truth make you do if you know it? Set you free. God was thinking about freedom. Because bondage has been what man was on from Genesis. You know that was where we began our journey. Okay, verse 17. Almost done. He said, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul what God has said, that it should make the promise of non-effect. Because the law came 430 years after what God had done with Abraham. Right? He said, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Verse 19. He said, wherefore then served the law? It was added. The law was added because of transgression, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Verse 20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Right? Right? Verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? Say, God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture had concluded all, not just the Jews, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them. That's what? That are according to the law. No, they change it. As far as you can believe, you can enter the covenant. Not just that you came from the Levitical priesthood, or you are a son of Reuben, or you are a son of Simeon, or you are a son of Levi. No. As far as you believe, that was what God promised in Abraham. So the true seed was actually Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? Verse 26. Okay, 23. He said, but before faith came, we were kept under the law. Are you seeing this? Shut up unto the faith we should. So they use faith, they use law to actually try to keep people till the real thing that we come and deal with sin came. Right? He said, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. It was supposed to bring us to what? Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So after that faith is come, which is Christ, we are no longer under what? A schoolmaster. So that was what was paining Paul, that you now want to go back to schoolmaster when Christ has already come. That's why he called them foolish. Verse 26. He said, for ye are all children of God. By what? By your genealogy? No, by faith, which is in who? Jesus Christ. He said, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, there is neither what? Jew nor Greek. But before, there was Jew or Greek. Right? There were people who were the ones that, even Jesus said it. He said, when he said, I am sent to the lost sheep of Israel. He said, I didn't come for you. He was telling those who were Gentiles. You know this, what's the woman? Not Samaritan woman. The woman, the Gentile woman, whose daughter was sick and came to ask Jesus for healing. And Jesus said, I was not sent to you. I was sent to the Lordship of Israel. But the woman believed. She was not a law person, but she used faith. Are you seeing? All of those things were signs. Jesus said, I have never seen such great faith. No, not in Israel. But they were the ones who were supposed to be practicing this thing. But law couldn't help them. Why? Flesh is in no one. Flesh don't finish them because they were mind people. Affections were set here. They can't go up. And if you are here, you can't beat Satan. To beat Satan, you need to go up. To beat Satan, you need to come up. Hallelujah. He said, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond. Are you seeing? Bond or free. There is neither Ishmael or Isaac. Bond or free. Eh? Children of Israel were free. We are the free ones. The Gentiles were bondage people. But when Christ come, no more bond or free. There is neither male or female. You know, in Israel, there was something called male or female. In fact, when they want to count people, you know, when Jesus fed 5,000 people, it was not just 5,000 people. They just counted the men. If you've counted men, you've counted all. Eh? 5,000 men together with women and children. That was the way the law did it. Law, man, women, others. But when Jesus came, he changed the order. Are you seeing it? He said, for ye are what? All one, together with your wives. All one, where? In Christ Jesus. I think 29 is the last verse. He said, and if ye be Christ, then are ye what? Abraham's seed. Are you seeing the seed? Are you connected back to the seed? And you are now heirs according to the promise. So, you are seed through Jesus Christ. So, because Jesus came, you can now actually walk against that law of sin and death. Because no longer will the flesh rule over you. He said, walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what flesh uses is lust. What spirit uses is love. Are you understanding? So we must actually come to a place where we are not like the Galatian people. And how we can be like the Galatian people. You can think when Daddy Lady is here laboring and he's teaching you about patience. Or he's talking about, let me use someone like Reverend Coyote, our daddy. And daddy is talking about the tabernacle. And he's talking about the dimensions of the tabernacle. Defining what the menorahs are. You know, mind, what will mind say? Can you believe? What am I going to use this thing to do? When you are saying that the altar of incense is around the door to enter the most holy, how will that pay my school fees? If you are saying the brazen laver, they keep it at the entrance of the holy place and the priests wash their hand before they enter, how will that pay my rent? That's mind, Abby. So there's a way mind shut down and say, I don't understand. Those who go to the extreme of mind, they will say, it's heretic. Mind new. Because mind can't keep the demands of the spirit. So mind, it's mind that is talking. If mind doesn't believe, mind says wrong. Mind will never say, me, I'm wrong. What is being said is right. That's mind. So if you think that when you are hearing all of those things, you can keep it according to letter, you have already missed it. Because the words that are spoken, they are spirit and they are life. So your jotter can be full if that thing doesn't enter your heart. But Daddy said, Pastor Larry said, it begins with the mind. Because many of the warfares, they are won in the mind. You either lose war in the mind or you win it in the mind. Because mind is where there are many options, many activities. By the time they are talking about something, that's where you hear, are they now saying we should not? You see, all of those questions, they are all in the mind. That's why they said, the weapons of your warfare, they are not carnal. God will make it mighty to pull down stronghold. What are they casting down? Thoughts. Where do thoughts begin from? Where do imaginations begin from? The mind. So, you cannot use mind, or you cannot use the approach of the law to obey word of righteousness. You need to plug into the Spirit. So, plugging into the Spirit is that that is teaching about the tabernacle. Yes, fine. Your mind is unfruitful. You don't understand. What you are praying for is, God, give me skill. Give me understanding. Because in the Spirit, all you are hearing, there is something He wants to communicate to you. Maybe what He wants to communicate to you is patience. But you can discard it. But when you pray for skill, you pray for understanding, and they give you. By the times the commandment of what daddy taught comes and you obey it, you would have handled it. When you undo it, it doesn't look like tabernacle. It doesn't look like brazen lava. But you have gotten what was being taught, because it is spirit and life. It's not letters. Hallelujah. It's not what? It's not letters. So to measure up to fulfilling the law, like we said, is to love God. Abi? So can we love Jesus? Because that is how we fulfill even the law of Christ. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. Daddy read this last week. He said, bear ye. No, let's start from verse 1. He said, brethren. Say, brethren. If a man be overtaken in a fault, that man is part of your brethren, right? If he's overtaken with a fault, ye which are spiritual, you should do what? Restore such a one. To restore someone means to carry him. Eh? To carry him and nurse him back to life, because he is overtaken in a fault. He said, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Because if you switch to mind, he has to be in the spirit of meekness. If you switch to mind, Satan will catch you. In trying to restore another person, Satan can put pride in your heart. So they say you have to do it in the spirit of meekness, knowing that you are restoring somebody and you know that you yourself, you can fall to this thing. So you are asking for mercy. That's how to restore people. If somebody falls into a sin, you have to carry them with meekness. If not, the same thing you are blasting them for, sir, you will find yourself doing it. Verse 2, I will show you why. Verse 2, he said, bear ye one another's what? Bodies. And do what? So fulfill the law. So even the law of Christ, how do you fulfill it? Love work. Eh? Love work. Verse 3 of this Galatians. Can we all read it together? He said, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So we must never switch from meekness. You know that was what daddy was laboring on 2 weeks ago concerning the spirit of meekness. He said, that was what Jesus came into. He said, learn of me, for I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Meaning your soul will not just try to be doing plenty things. You know, the children of Israel didn't find rest for their soul. They didn't enter into rest. They didn't enter into rest because they cannot enter into rest. It is washing, offering, sacrifice, trying to do, trying to undo. But can you enter meekness? Meek, lowly in heart, you will find rest. Are you getting what I'm saying? So how to fulfill the law of Christ also is by love work. Say love work. You know, we used to sing that song, the excellent way to do what? The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. Can you sing it? The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk. The excellent way to walk in the Spirit is to walk in love. Oh, yeah, walk in love. Walk in love. Hallelujah. Beautiful song. So, how we walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The best way to do it is to do what? Walk in love. Papa Egan wrote a book. He called it Love, the Way to Victory. The victory is not victory over your brother. You know, someone said, I feel love walk by. Love is supposed to build up. Are you getting my point? The love you are showing to somebody is love that is supposed to make the person come up. You know, you can use love to do wickedness against somebody. And that thing is not love. When Holy Spirit is saying, rebuke this person sharply. You know, Paul had to tell Titus that the Christians, they are liars, slow bellies. And there is a report that has been given, and that witness is true. He said, therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. You know, you can say, love work. I'll use it to grow. I'm not going to tell you anything. And Holy Ghost is saying, talk. Holy Ghost is saying, correct this person. But you can say, you are using love work. That's not love work again. Because love is supposed to edify. Anything that is puffing you up, because you are being puffed up, you believe you are smarter than Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is saying, talk to the person. You say, the excellent way, I need to walk in love. So that's no more meekness. You get here. So love is not, you don't box it. Love can reprove. Love can correct. Love can carry rod and flog your bum bum. And love can also keep quiet. It is just walking in the spirit. Never mind. It's not mind. When you use mind to do love, it is no longer love. Because it will not build up your brother. You can try to say you are using love work and you make somebody enter condemnation. Are you getting what I'm saying? So even it is just walking in the spirit. Can you just obey Holy Ghost? 2 Peter chapter 1 said, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the spirit unto unfeigned love of the bread. I like that. Unto unfeigned love of the bread, meaning you are journeying from a place to unfeigned love of the brethren. Meaning you probably started at feigned love of the brethren. Feigned love of the brethren is love that still has some level of dissimulation. I like my brother. I know you like that guy. We vibe together. We don't have chemistry. It's because your soul is not pure. Abi, but as you are obeying truth, you are being made free from impurities. And you now come to a place called unfeigned love of the brethren. So you loved all the brethren and there is no dissimulation. You don't love Pastor Happy because he drives a Jeep. You just love him. And the other brother that jumps keke, you love him. Unfeigned love. You don't love this brother because he can speak English. You don't love this pastor because he can preach. The pastor that is stammering, you love him. Unfeigned love. They now say, when you have gotten to unfeigned love, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Because it is from love to love. What the sense of milk will give you is love to all saints. Faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all saints. What the sense of Christ will give you is love of the brethren. Which is charity. And charity, you know, charity is not keeping love, carnal commandments. Charity is a person. You obey till you become that person. They say, charity is kind. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't say, love does patience. Or love does kindness. Or love, no! It is what he is. And what love is, it is awesome. Hey, it is what? It's not like love, the law of Moses that if I do one, maybe I didn't do the other one. No. They said the works of the flesh are what? Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. He said, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you shall not what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. See, now the works of the flesh are what? You know, you can see that they use plural. Because works in Epo. Abi? Plural. They say works of the flesh. They are what? Manifest. Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Continue. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of which I told, because if it didn't say such like, it can keep naming Epo. They use such like to say etc., etc. Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22. He said, but the fruits. Did they say fruits? How many fruits? One fruit. Pastor Tosin taught. He said, that fruit is love. It is inside love you find joy. you find peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. So the fruit of the Spirit is one, love. Inside love is all of those things. Because if you are going to say the fruit of the Spirit and you are naming about 10 things, then it's a grammatical error. Because if you want to name 10 things, you add S. But they say the fruit, meaning it is one. If you are a lover, you will be peaceful. You will be joyful. You will suffer long. You will be gentle. You will be good. You will use faith. You will be meek. You will be temperate. If you are a loving. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the excellent way to actually not fulfill the lust of the flesh is to walk in love. Everything we are hearing from Sunday service to when we gather for prayer meeting, to Bible study, then we go to writing division, on Thursday, School of the Spirit, Tuesday, Epistle Life, Wednesday, Lekki Soul Center, and then special meeting like Beacon and Anamnesis. Everything is so that you can love. It's not so that your head can be big with revelation. And you can be hugging with people on Instagram. You can't get any, from today till next 10 years, you can argue with some people, they will not change. It will vex your soul. Till you yourself, you will switch to flesh. What do you people know that you don't know? You guys are fighting for your daddy, Reverend Kayode Oyegoke, that is not replying them. And your mommy Ellen, that is not replying them. Yeah, the Lord can put an impression in your heart to reply, to give response. Like Daddy Thompson said, the Lord laid it in the heart. And while he wasn't even replying them directly, he was just teaching for 1 hour. And he dealt with some things that were going on air. I understand. It has to be by the permission of the Spirit. You must be walking in the Spirit. He said, sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you. But something must have happened to your heart. You need to walk in the Spirit. Because if you go and enter arguments, it doesn't lead to anything. You know? It will only frustrate you. Hallelujah. So law, the love is what fulfills the law. And I said earlier that what powers sin is flesh, right? And is lust. And what powers the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in us, is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at, you are not serious. Amen. All right. So, what the burden the Lord laid in my heart for Bible study when Daddy said, you know, I was going to take this session by the Spirit of Jesus is how that we must learn how to exercise our sense by reason of use. Hallelujah. He said, strong meat belongeth to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised that they may discern what good and evil. So they are people, they are not milk. Oh, because before that script verse, it said, he that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. So they are not talking about babe. They are talking about people who, the things they are hearing, it's giving them a sense and they are using it. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's giving a sense. So the milk of the word of God's of Christ has a sense. We saw it in Acts chapter 2. So when you are still dealing with having all things in common with your brethren, you don't yet have the milk of the sense of milk. You can preach all the revelation. You are not using the sense of milk. Because sense of milk, what we are doing, that brethren are coming and to live in your house. You have 8 brethren in your house. It's still sense of milk. Oh. You are not a giant of charity. Oh. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's still what? Milk sense. That's what they did in early church. And they did it without anything. Pastor Rose, you said 3,000 souls were added to the church. And they lived in it is inside Jerusalem there. They didn't have diaspora. All of them were in Jerusalem. 3,000. And then they added another 2,000. Okay, 5,000. They still enter some people's house. You know, because to accommodate brethren, you have to use mind. If you use mind, like, my dear, our gas, how long does it last? He says it's 3 weeks. How many people do we have in the house? 8 brethren. By the time we add another 2, gas will finish in 1 week. How many bags of rice are we buying now? Half bag and sometimes quarter bag. If we add 2 more brethren, it will finish in 2 weeks. You see sense? So that's Soul switching from spirit to mind, entering calculation. But milk sense will deal with that. It's not even charity, oh. It's not charity, oh. It's what? Milk sense. Because it was carnal sense that dealt with Ananias and Sapphira. Milk sense was what was prevailing. They felt, if I sell land, how will I give all of them? If I give them, I know Peter. He does not use, there's no savings. You know, sometimes, I'm sorry, Pastor Rose, please forgive me in the name of Jesus. Amen. Sometimes, you want to send money to Pastor Rose, you're like, ah! When you send money, you have to put commandment. Pastor Rose, this money is for you! Because as the money is landing, the money is gone to my 12. The money is gone to my... The money is entering account like this, bam! And Aboki in my 12 is receiving it. Where he's going to give you pepper, give you rice. So sometimes you have for you to give mama money, you have to put commandment and say, this money is for you. Hallelujah. Remember the story of tortoise? Tortoise that took wisdom and said, okay, let us all of us go. When they say, what's your name? Say, your name is this. Your name is Taye. Your name is Tokme. Me. My name is not tortoise. My name is all of you. Those ones, they didn't know why. So when they got to where they would serve them food, they said, this food is for all of you. Say, my name is what? All of you. So when you give mama money, many a times the money is for all of you. But actually, you have to say, money is for you. Now, that's a sense that has worked that response. But you know, some people, if you give money, even when you say the money is for all of you, the sense in them is that the money is for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it is law against law. It is mind. It is sense against sense. So what we are using the sense of word of righteousness to do is to what? Love. Love your brethren. Be skillful in loving. Get better in loving. If there is anything that is always paining you every year, you know, there's a way you, at the end of the year, you'll be like, what did I achieve this year? No sister. I'm still a single brother. I've done groomsman 5 times this year. I'm still collecting 120,000. And then you list all of those things that look like you have not achieved anything. That one should not pain you more than the fact that you have not walked in love well. If you really have the sense that our parents are communicating, it should weigh more in your heart. How is my love walk? Hallelujah. So as we are approaching Believers Convention, say Believers Convention. Seek to hear. Tell your neighbor, seek to hear. Seek to understand. It will help you when the leading of the Spirit comes so that you can inherit the sense. So you will hear many things in Believers Convention. Many things will be said, but what they want to communicate is a sense. Everything is about a sense of how to love God and to love brethren. Ojubelo, because if you can love God and love brethren, you have fulfilled the law of Christ. You don't have to start worrying about, am I patient? If you are loving, you will suffer long and be kind. You will be patient. If you love your brother, you will not vaunt. You will not speak evil. You will not think evil. You will bear all things. You will hope all things. You will believe all things. It's a sense. Hallelujah. But it comes by obeying the leading of the Spirit. Holy Ghost will always lead you to love your brethren. Say, Holy Ghost will always lead you. If you are not receiving any instruction or commandment, there is one that is always hanging off your head. Love your brethren. I'm not hearing God. Pastor, I'm not hearing God. What's God saying? Go and love. You want to hear express word. Angel will appear to you. My son. This is my instruction for you in 2026. If you don't hear that one, there is one that has already been spoken. Love your brethren. Hallelujah. Have we been blessed? Can we begin to bless the name of the Lord tonight? Can we appreciate God?
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703 576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.